feel rather vindicated standing here right now because a couple of weeks ago I was working on the homily for this Sunday and someone said to me, "Why are you doing that?" "Because you're going to have all the Spanish masses." They knew I was working on the English homily. And I said, "You know, you never know what's going to happen. So I always have one in each language, just in case." So as I was driving up here, I thought, I'm going to call that person who wanted to know why I was doing it. You know, it would be a mistake causing us to miss the point to think that what Matthew is giving us in these verses is a manifestation of the divinity of Christ. The experience of those apostles on that high mountain was an experience of Jesus as Messiah. That's not the same thing. Jesus is presented as a transformed human. He stays human, okay? He's not being transformed into God. The description of this event is totally passive. Jesus says nothing and he does nothing. If this was a revelation of Jesus as God, Jesus would have said something and done something godly. And the apostles would have been more than terrified. They probably would have fallen dead. If Jesus was being presented as God, those apostles would have reacted differently. Instead, what do we get here? Peter, as he so often does, he just starts babbling. He's talking to his friend Jesus, okay? Perfectly normal circumstances. His idea of building booths or tents for them suggests that he's in the presence of heavenly human beings. What we might need to remember here is that both Elijah and Moses, according to Jewish tradition, were carried up into heaven before suffering human death. So by associating Jesus with them, there's being a connection made here with the resurrection. This event in Matthew's gospel, at this point in the process of the gospel, is following the first prediction by Jesus regarding his passion and death. And Peter and his companions at that moment, just verses before this, they want nothing to do with it. But Matthew's plan here is to correct that reaction by taking them up this high mountain where a voice speaking from the cloud affirms what Peter has declared Jesus to be, the Messiah. The voice declares that God is well pleased with the obedience of Jesus in accepting his suffering role, which further challenges the objection of Peter and his companions to that predicted suffering and death. How can they oppose what pleases God? That's the challenge. At the baptism of Jesus, in chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel, a very similar event takes place, but this time, that voice adds something. At the baptism, the voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's all. This time, there's something else added. You remember what it is? Listen to him. The conflict between what Peter, James, and John see and what they had just heard from Jesus about his suffering and death all comes to the surface when the voice says, "Listen to him." You see, just before, they didn't want to listen. Jesus talks about his coming death. They say, "No, no, no." So the voice says, "Look, you guys, listen." In a sense, the voice says, "Don't think that what you see can happen without what you've heard." You see, don't think you're going to see this glorified person without what you don't want. His passion and death. The suffering and death, the obedience of Jesus to the will of the Father, is what lifts Jesus up to his glory. human life is transfigured to this glory by one thing: obedience to the Father, by suffering and service and death. Matthew acknowledges the conflict of this lingering refusal to accept the suffering and death by placing the same three apostles where? In the Garden of Olives. They see him in glory on the high mountain, and after the Last Supper, it's the same three who go out to that garden on the night of Jesus' betrayal: Peter, James, and John. They are invited now to witness the surrender and the obedience of Jesus. And in one last act of denial, what do? Fall asleep. Only after death and resurrection of Jesus are they going to get over it, and their denial will be set aside. So he instructs them, keep quiet about what you've seen until then. The favor of God comes not just from a violent death, but from obedience to the Father's will, whatever it may be. Our only hope of being transfigured into what God's called us to be is by obedience, which, as a word in English, comes from a Latin word which means give ear to. Obedire in Latin means give ear to. And what do we mean by that? Listen. On a high mountain, God reveals through Matthew what we're called to become and how we shall finally pass into or be transfigured into what God has intended before we stopped listening and became disobedient. Our transfiguration, friends, is going to happen when we listen to the words Jesus has spoken among us. Words of forgiveness, words of mercy, words of healing, words of peace. Probably when we begin to embrace these words and live by them, we will experience some suffering, maybe some betrayal, and in some cases, maybe even death because of them. Nonetheless, when we do listen and ascend that final high mountain of life, we're going to hear those words. This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And that time, they're going to be spoken over us, and we will shine like the sun.